your tears on my pillow that won't dry on the road beyond my ears. I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone. Step by step.
If everybody wants to get situated, we're going to get ready to have a meeting. Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group Thursday Night's Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Did everybody hear about the blind drunk that walked into a bar?
No.
Then he walked into a table and a chair and the wall. Definitely a better response than last week. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise or that will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Some tips are to breathe in God and breathe out self. So if everybody's ready, we're going to get started. Light prayer. If you don't know it, it's up on the screens. God, shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. Amen. There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Peggy to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is.
Hello, everybody. My name is Peggy. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think that this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer, Alcoholics Anonymous, page 56. 567-568.
Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. And this is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane or meeting mode, or you can just turn them off. And tonight we have Marion here for her sixth session. And some things I've learned about Marion is that she carries herself with grace and dignity and God. And I know that that's something that I want, so I'm just going to go ahead and bring her up so she can tell us how she did that.
I love you. Thank you. Hi. I'm Marion. I'm a recovered alcoholic. It's good to be here and good to be sober, and we were in the prayer room earlier, and one of the gentlemen in the circle made a prayer, and I really felt moved today to maybe even have like a moment of silence and a prayer. You know, we alcoholics and God, it's crazy and it's scary. We're recorded and there's people all over, and one of the things I know and I believe in is that, you know, prayer and unity when we come together, you know. We've experienced this in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't know, just I really felt like that if we would collectively have a moment of silence for what happened in Parkland the other day. And just for the families and for everyone in the surrounding areas. So if we could just do that. Thanks, guys. So I'm Marian. I'm alcoholic. My sobriety date is November 11th, 1989, and I have a sponsor, and this is my home group, and I'm super excited to be here. I always get scared to death still, too. I thought I would try to fake like I'm not nervous, but I don't do good at that, and so I'm nervous, as always. And you know, I'm lucky enough to have a job, a place that I serve, that I get a little bit of free time the day I get to do a talk, and I really try to use that wisely to just spend that time with my Heavenly Father. And you know, waking up this morning and, you know, just, you know, we can't take on the troubles of the world. I know that as alcoholics, you know, we can't do that. But we also have hearts and that feel and are sensitive to things around us. And for people that we can have these transformed lives, that it's no longer just about me. It's no longer just my selfish needs, my selfish wants, what I need, what I want, what I can get, what I can, you know, what I can take away from people, you know. Through the big book of an Alcoholics Anonymous and a fellowship and all this, God, our lives can be transformed, and that I can have caring compassion, and I can love in a place where I never knew I could love before. And I feel like, I know for me, my life is about perfecting that love. It's first of all, perfecting that love and that connection with God. Number one. Number two, it's perfecting that love for the love for others, you know. And even in turn, turning that love towards myself, you know. It's actually the three principles that I try to live by. And I fall short of them every day, you know. I fall short of those things. But they're the ideal of the not only the alcoholic condition, it's the human condition, you know, that we're born to need each other. We're born to have unity. We're born to come together. And, you know, there's things that you're really great at and I'm really lousy at. And there's things I'm really great at and you're really lousy at. And we were designed to need each other. And usually, you know, just even thinking of the events in Parkland, you know, it's like people coming together, you know, in those times. And I'm not here a person at the podium talking about politics or religion or things like that. It's not about those opinions. It's about the human condition of the heart. And when I read the book, The Language of the Heart, and when I read the literature of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've seen people transform in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and experientially becoming a part of this fellowship and experientially going through the steps and seeing their lives transform. There's only one journey, guys. It's right here. It's things we can't. Why did Bill call it the language of the heart? You know, there's people that can, you know, and it doesn't have like a name. It doesn't say, hey, at 30 years, you're going to have the language of the heart. You know, it can be the newcomer walking in the room that says, hey, here's a cup of coffee for you. Or here's my phone number. Or a sponsee today who spent the last 3 days with two brand newcomers, you know, who poured out her life with them. You know, it's the opportunities and things that we get to do, you know, in our disease. You know, we're the only thing that separates us and other diseases is we're the ones that think we don't have it. You know, we think we don't have it. And so it's all about a journey back to God. It's all about a journey back to the heart. It's all about that stuff. And that's what I crave. I didn't just come here, you know, if you're new, I welcome you with open arms. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to revolutionize your life if you really take this in full force. You know, it's like, it's not just about putting down the drink and the drug. It's about what is it, a 180? I was going to say 360, but you'd be right back where you were. You know, it's about the 180. I care about human beings today. I cried for people today. I cried for mothers and hearts that were broken. I cried for the newcomer that comes in the room. I cry for the people that I try to, you know, pass this message on that don't want to hear it. I do that. Why do I do that? For a person that came in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous that was selfish and self-centered, and all I cared about was me. You know, I had all my character defects were masked by, you know, this crazy alcoholic family, and if they would just get their crap together because I knew what was best for them, that was my, and I was so caring and so giving with them all the time. But reality was, is I was so sick and I was so broken inside. The only reason I was doing that stuff is so I could feel better about me. But today I know what that is. I know when I reach my hand out to another alcoholic, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that so I can feel okay about me. I'm doing it because that's what got my sponsor, Polly, is a pistol. And Polly says constantly, Marion, just pray for a servant's heart. Pray for a servant's heart. How best do I serve thee? How do I serve my fellow man? How do I serve this God? Well, I can't do that in a place where if we're here to talk about step six today, I can't do that from that place. I can't do that from that place where I'm full of my defects of character. You know, the 12 and 12 calls, it's our first step for life. You know, I'm going out to the rest of the world, and how am I going to be? You know, the first five steps are about going in, and it's about cleaning house, and it's kind of gets to be about you for a while, guys. You might want to do it, you know, but and you get all this attention from your sponsor, and you get to cry, and you get a lot of tissues. You know, I had 47 tissues last week when I was here. And at least they're still in my handbag. No. But, you know, just because, you know, we get to do this in the first five steps, we get to do this journey inward, and I get to feel okay about me for the first time in my entire life. That I could detach from the place that who I was when I drank is not the woman I was to become. It's not the woman I am today. I don't know who she was. Except for lost, except for broken, except for the women that I see that are brand new in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous that walk in this door and I can look them in the eye and I know her. Boy, do I know her. I know her because she's just like me. And I do believe in the old saying of, you know, I was raised on the old Isabel, right? Peter, you know, some of the old timers in the room, some of those old sayings of, you know, we'll love you till you can love yourself. Yes. I need to be okay in my skin. You know, I want to, and I fall short of that every day. You know, I put on an outfit tonight and Peter says, you look pretty. And I say, I look fat, you know, whatever, you know, it's like this constant thing. You know, but that's the alcoholic condition. That's what we do, you know. Those character defects, those places we go to, we've done it our whole entire life. It's our fallback. And my fallback is to go into pride. My fallback is to go into fear. My fallback is to go into inadequacy. My fallback is to go into envy. My fallback is to go there. So what I'm doing is I'm learning a whole new way of life. And you know what? I'm going to go there sometimes. And so what if I'm a little fat, Marion? You know, whatever that is, whatever our deal is, whatever are those areas of our life, because my disease and my voices always want to tell me how inadequate I am on a constant basis. Or they want to tell me that I'm just the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know? And that's the deal. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous does. It levels out the ground that I can look the world in the eye. What? I can look the world in the eye. Step six prepares us for that. It prepares us for, you know, we go in one through five and we're gutting out like a fish, John. We're doing it, you know, scraping out the guts, the bones, and we're going to fry that stuff up, you know. And then we're going to gut all that crap out and we're going to get ready for a good fish fry, you know. And then And then the deal is it's preparing me for that first step for life to go out to the world. How many of you guys have had to do this where you've had to shuck, you know, you walk into a room and, oh my God, there's so-and-so, I got to hide from them. Or I can't go by to that bank because so-and-so, I owe them money. You know, just the world haunts us and we wear it. It's like, I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything because I can't look at any of that stuff. And this is what it does. It prepares us to walk free. Free. You know, I had an experience, you know, I've talked to you guys a little bit about, you know, going through that divorce, and I had a breakup with my church, which a breakup with a church is worse than a divorce anytime. And God did some real reconciliation for me in that. Some beautiful, beautiful. They couldn't help me through my divorce and they didn't agree with me. And through some step work and through some prayer and through some pressing in with God, you know, driving by that church one day, because I can hear God's voice today. That doesn't mean spooky. I'm not talking about that. But what happens is when we're gutted out and when we're cleaned out, we have this intuitiveness in us that we can, the thought with a voice, you know, I'm driving by that church and I was hurt and I was all alone. My AAs were there for me and I was driving by that church, went to some big old church just to hide in the back so I could be there. And I went driving by that church and I hear a voice. It wasn't out loud, guys. It was inside that said, go in, go in by the old church, go in. And my thought said, I can't go in there. And the next thought that came said, you can go anywhere. You can go anywhere. And through that day and hearing that voice and going to that place, I had a pastor that approached me who was my friend, who was my teacher for many, many years, who reconciled with me that day. Who set that up? I didn't set that up. That wasn't my best thinking. My best thinking was run for the hills and have this thing inside of me still hurt, you know? But that's what this is about. It's about being able to look the world in the eye. It's about being able to have my head up and shoulders square and not have to hide no more, guys. Yeah. So I have this, I'm saying this because I like it. And I've read this before, and I was talking about the journey of the heart. And to me, there's a girl named Courtney Walsh who wrote this. And I've read this at my step series before, and I don't know what step, but it was on my heart today. And it talks about love. So it's not biblical, it's not AA, it's not any of that, it's just a thing. Dear human, so we're hard on ourselves, right? We're hard on ourselves and we've, you know, having hope that we can change, that we can have these beat up, messy, crazy lives and somehow we get a do-over and somehow we get to have another chance and somehow we can really mess things up one day and still be welcomed right back in. So it says, dear human, you've got it all wrong. You didn't come here to master unconditional love. That's where you came from and where you'll return. You came here to learn personal love, universal love, messy love, sweaty love, crazy love, and broken love. Whole love. You didn't come here to be perfect. You already are. I love that. You came here to be gorgeously human, flawed and fabulous, and then to rise again into remembering. But unconditional love, stop telling that story. Love is truth. It doesn't need any other objectives. It doesn't require modifiers. It doesn't require the condition of perfection. It only asks that you show up and do your best. That you stay present and feel fully. That you shine and fly and laugh and cry and hurt and heal and fall and get back up and play and work and live and die as you. It's enough. It's plenty. And I just love that. You know, so many times it's like through this process, it hurts and it's hard and it's difficult. And, you know, I was reading in the 12 and 12 today a little bit on 6 and 7, you know, and you know, we always put these principles on every step. You know, the first step, what is it? Humility is, and Bill was saying in there that humility is behind each and every step. Each and every step. So whether I'm being hard on myself or I'm thinking I'm all great, humility is behind every single solitary bit of it. I'm done now. No, just kidding. So we take this journey. We share our inventory in step 5. I shared my inventory with Pastor Slater. And he gives me an hour. The only time in the big book, it gives you an hour to be quiet and be with God. And this is back in 1990. I mean, I didn't have a big old spreadsheet of my character defects, but I went with my character defects alive to a man who was my hero, and it was a preacher. And I took my hour, and I took my hour with God, and we said the prayer together. And he, you know, pointed out some things that were me. And I told you, I went to lunch with my sponsor that day, and I felt light. I felt forgiven. Which is the huge part for us, is to feel forgiveness, to actually feel God's forgiveness for the things I'd done. I felt God's forgiveness because I took it to a place that was like, for me, it was the top. It was like, if this dude can forgive me, I'm going to go straight to heaven. You know, that's how I felt in my heart. You know, it's like, if he can forgive me, I'm going to be okay. You know, his daughters were great friends of mine, and we stayed connected for many years, and he's since passed, I'm going to read us some big book. Good Fiji water. Oops, there's a plug. Thanks, Steve. Okay. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we've done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we've omitted anything, for we're building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? And the deal is, like, we can be fellowship people and we can, you know, do the 1, 2, 3 thing, and it's like, how free do you want to be? How free do I want to be? You know, it's like, we can be meeting makers, but when we're walking around to that place, we're walking around that place full of selfishness, self-centeredness, and fear, and pride, and ego, and all those things. I want everything that this has to offer. I want to walk a free woman. I want to walk in that place today. Where's that going to go? Here. Okay. If we can answer to our satisfaction, then we look at step 6. We've emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all these things which we admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one, root and branch? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us to be willing. So I was a little bit afraid when I got to step 6 too, because I thought, you know, when you get all this God inside of you and all these changes are happening in your life, it's like I'm going to just like end up glowing in the dark and I'm going to be all perfect and people are going to think I'm self-righteous and, you know, things like that. I was afraid of that stuff. I was afraid of some of those character defects being removed. And then it came to a point where I can honestly tell you after all these years, there's still some things in my life that I wish were not there. That I wish were not there. You know, there's things I deal with, you know, that are character defects that God will not take them all away. And I pray that he would take them all away, but he doesn't. You know, and I think some of those things, you know, to the extreme, like sometimes God can take a character defect and he can take the edges off of it and he can make it not as painful anymore. You know, he can make it to use. And a lot of times it'll be whatever my character defects are, I will attract women with those same character defects. And usually it's like, it ticks me off and I don't want to work with them because it's like, she's a little too much, you know, she's a little too much. But usually that's the ones that I attract. And I feel like that's kind of a universal thing for us in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so my first thing is I want to push back and I want to say, no, I can't help her. She's got to go to one of my sponsees, you know, and there's a woman in this room. Wow. You know, a few of them that I sponsor today. And I was going to say, this is so cool. So I walk in here tonight and this is kind of been a male heavy fellowship, Alcoholics and God. Right? Pretty male heavy. And I was thinking about how many girls are new in this room today? Like pretty new. Okay? New. Okay. So I'm gonna show you something. How many women in this room tonight could take that girl through the steps? Raise your hand. Look at that. Look at that. I mean, that is like so, so beautiful. Like, I was standing by the door and I'm watching the women come in that I know that I'm like going, she's a big booker. Oh, she's a big booker. Oh, that one's a big booker. Oh, she loves God. Oh, that one's killing it. You know, I mean, all the way around the room. And I haven't seen that here in a long, long time. And it's like super beautiful. And I'm not in a long, long time. We're just growing. We're growing. We're bursting at the seams. We got girls coming in. They're doing the deal. They're sponsoring girls. They're bringing girls in. You know, we're balancing out the guys and the girls. The guys are teaching the girls. The girls are teaching the guys. And we're being it, doing it as ladies and gentlemen. How about that? That's cool, right? Anyway, I have no idea where I was going with that. So which brings us to the seventh step prayer. So are we now ready to get lit? God, remove them all, root and branch. When ready, we say something like this: my creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. So in that line, in the good and bad, I don't know what it's like. See, I can look at some of the things of myself that I think are just the best things since sliced bread. But I don't know. I don't know what God sees good and what God sees fit to think good. I think it's good that I'm, you know, like I'm a peacekeeper. Well, maybe people are supposed to have a fight it out or something at a moment. Or maybe I'm a people pleaser and I'm not supposed to be pleasing everybody. My sponsor, Polly, always says, you know, just line up all those people you're pleasing, Marion. You know, she says that to me. You know, just line them all up and they're see how pleased they really are when you're trying to please them all. You know, that's a good one that she always says to me. And I can look at that as I think that that's good, but maybe it's not. Maybe if I'm pleasing all these people by answering this call and this call and this call, maybe there's someone that needed my time a little bit more. Or maybe I'm neglecting paying my own bills. Or maybe I need to take a shower. Or maybe, you know, maybe I get run down and tired or whatever that is. Maybe I'm just not taking the time to take care of myself too, you know? So that's what a lot of that stuff looks like. You know, what are those defects of character? What are those things that shut off the sunlight of the spirit? What are those things that Chuck Chamberlain talks about that are the ego, those things that separate me from you, first off, which in turn, when they separate from me from you, then they're going to separate me from God. And when I'm separated from God long enough, then I'm sure to drink again. So that's some of the things I need to look at in my life, you know? And like I said, those things aren't removed. I don't know when they're going to be removed. Some of them I beg for God to remove and they stay there. I know that there's lessons I get to learn through some of those things. And I know there's other women that I can look. You know, here's the craziest thing about the women that you attract in your life that have those same things. It's like it's really easy to teach them how to carry themselves and do that job better. But when it comes to me, I can't do it. But I can give it to you. And I can see that in you. And in turn, then I get it. Does that make sense? So I pray that you now follow me good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you, God, and to my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. And it's the first time we hear an amen. We don't hear it at the end of step 3. We hear it at the end of step 7. And what it's going to do is going to take us out to make right the wrongs that we did out in the world. So I don't know. I know the way I can get here is by doing inventory. I know the way I can get here is by starting my day, turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. I know that my practices I do in the morning are vital to my recovery. I know that when I lay my pillow on the head at night, you know, was I selfish? Was I self-centered? Any of those things, if those are going to be, you know, glaring in my life, that I want to be free of those things today. I want to be free in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and in God so that I can be better fit and useful to God. So I'm going to end early again. So that's all I have. Thanks. See ya.
Bye.
Let's thank Marion again. And now we're going to bring up Heather to do the secretary's report.
I'm Heather. I'm your recovery secretary.
Hey, Heather.
In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group should be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. I've asked Isabel to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering, and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, family. My name is Isabel. I am a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, Isabel.
Woohoo! Good to be here. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime, but we have been restored to sanity. Thank God. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered. Thank you.
...1940-style Big Book sponsorship. From forward to second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Can we get a show of hands of recovered alcoholics? Is there anyone that needs a sponsor? Please raise your hand or stand up. All right, ladies, let's get this lady back to God. We have some announcements for ways to get involved. We have the 40th Big Book Seminar coming up. It's local. It's the Joe and Charlie. We also have an AA meeting, Saturday Night Live event going on. What else we got? The Spring Fling. And Waves of Serenity for the 62nd Florida. Oh, and the Jersey Roundup. So they're trying to round up all the Jersey people, bring them back to Jersey. Just kidding, Isabel and Peg, I love you. Please join us Monday nights for the Big Book Study meeting, where the Big Book comes alive. Fellowship is at 6:30. The Big Book Study starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print big books, the little red books, and big book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday, starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. See you next week.
We have tonight's session and all the past speaker podcasts online for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. And I'd like to invite everybody to our Monday night Big Book Study upstairs on the third floor at 7:15. And for those who wish to thank tonight's speaker, please line up down the center aisle. And also, there's a 75-foot no smoking, no vape zone out of the doors of the church. So if you could take it down here where the smoke buckets are, and please put your cigarette butts into the smoke buckets. And we're going to go ahead and close with the Lord's Prayer. Who can bring us from shame to grace?
Stronger than getting on my knees. doodle doo, zan zan zan. Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby, baby. Yes, when you're laughing, ba 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 ba, when you're laughing. Yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling, keep on smiling, baby, and I hope the world smiles for you.
house. I'm going to let it shine all in my house. I'm going to let it shine all in my house. I'm going to let it shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.